Brooks, are you one of those physicists who believes that there are multiple parallel universes now?
Yes, I'm one of those physicists. I think all physicists, since Dr. Kip Thorne published his book, Black Holes and Time Warps, took a tremendous professional risk in saying, well, I guess time travel is possible. And it was at first published in some obscure physics publication, but the fact is that it's undeniable now that even though we, although we don't know how to do it, it doesn't mean that it can't be done, and there are parallel universes.
Now, did you believe that, let's say, when you were going to school to become a physicist?
No, I didn't. I kind of thought, like a Star Trek fan, that that exists on TV, that exists in science fiction. But as we expanded what we call perturbation theory, which basically means there are things in the universe that are visible and they're invisible, we can't see the invisible, obviously, but we can see the effects of the invisible on the visible. And so we began to measure the wobbling of stars and wobbling of galaxies that is caused by forces that are acted upon it from the unseen. And it appears as though these perturbations come from parallel universes. We can see the ripples of it between the interface between our universe and other universes.
Did we lose knowledge along the lines over the last several hundred thousand years, several thousands of years, for our current types of civilization? It seems like we forgot a lot.
Well, we either forgot it or that knowledge was expunged from society. There are those in our society today that know how to do things. I mean, you may not know how to dig up iron ore and make an iron casting of an engine block, but you can drive a car.
Right.
So if we had a great cataclysm and all of the metallurgists were suddenly taken from the earth and your car wore out, you needed another engine. You couldn't make one.
No, I couldn't.
So you have therefore lost the knowledge, even though you know perfectly well that it can be done.
So you think it just died off?
It either died off or it was removed by leaders who didn't want their people to have the knowledge to come out from underneath their rule.
Mm-hmm. Very possible. When you look at this, I'm going to call it a theory for lack of a better word right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at this theory, the planet that came into our solar system now was Earth. How did it find its way to this specific spot in the solar system? I mean, the other planets were already here, I assume, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why where we are? Because we need to be close to the sun? Is that probably one of the biggest reasons?
Well, we have to have light. We have to have energy. And the way energy is created in our universe is hydrogen protons bond together to become helium. It's a fusion reaction that gives off just the right wavelength of radiation to support life. However, that being said, our Earth had to be precisely set in orbit. 50,000 miles closer to the sun, we would be a desert, a burning ball. 50,000 miles further away from the sun, and we would be an Arctic frozen mass. So the design of the placement of the Earth was one of the most beautiful and poetic things I've ever seen in mathematics or in physics and cosmology. And it undeniably testified that there was an intelligence in the placement of the Earth. Couple that with the fact that our moon is precisely the size to eclipse the sun perfectly.
you couldn't make it any better.
That's right. You can exactly see the corona of the sun around the moon during a full eclipse. And there are other things, too. For instance, the moon, being made of aluminum and titanium, has a reflectivity. The side that faces us is the side that faces us all the time. And it's got a dusting, as it were, of iron dust, which makes it sort of dark, a little darker than it would normally be if it was just aluminum. On a full moon in the middle of New Mexico, you could just about see your hand in front of your face in the middle of the night. It lights up the highway quite well. But if the other side of the moon faced us, the smoother side, the side without the huge craters on it, the side without the iron dusting on it, it would be 60 times brighter. You would need sunglasses at a full moon on the Earth.
It would be like another sun. It would be like a huge flash, a flashlight, huh?
Yes. The sun would reflect so much off the surface of the moon that there wouldn't be any night.
Do you believe in the story of Adam and Eve?
Yes.
In your interpretation, what do you think it was? When I was a kid, Brooks, I always thought of them as space travelers. I don't know why, but I just always had a feeling that they were space travelers. Maybe they were just a group. Maybe I don't think it was just two. But that's what I always believed.
Well, Adam being placed on the Earth, if we just want to take the scripture as literally as we can, all the plants were placed on the Earth, and then Adam was placed on the Earth, and then the animals were placed on the Earth, and Adam named all the animals, and who knows how long that took. I know some zoologists who can just about name every animal on the Earth, but it took them a lifetime to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam named all those animals, and then at the end of that period, Eve was created to be an helpmeet for him. And they were given some commandments, two of them. One was to multiply and replenish the earth, which they couldn't do in their present state, and the other was to not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, Lucifer came to tempt Adam, and Adam, being one of the most intelligent beings in the entire universe, saw right through his plan and said, I'm not going to partake. Eve, however, was a different animal, and she had not been given the same commandment at the same time. Adam gave her the commandment, not God. And she partook. And then she came to Adam and said, look, I've partaken, you need to partake. And Adam said, no, I'm not partaking. And she said, well, you know that my partaking, I'm going to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, you're going to be left alone, and we will not be able to multiply and replenish the earth. And it was that logic that allowed Adam to fall to mortality.
He fell for the old line, didn't he?
And man to be. So once they left the Garden of Eden, they became mortal and therefore fertile. And by the time Adam and Eve died, who knows how many offspring they had.
The story of Adam and Eve, do you believe they were earthlings, or do you believe my thoughts that they traveled here from afar?
I think they would travel here from afar.
Yeah, me too.
They didn't spring up out of some primordial ooze. They appeared on the scene, intelligent, sentient beings with purpose and direction.
Might they have been genetically altered, perhaps? Maybe they were Neanderthals, something like that, and the Nephilim, whoever had come down to alter us, that they did this with them?
Not them.
Okay.
The Nephilim were here later. Adam and Eve were pure beings, and their gene pool was so pure that their offspring lived, well, almost all of them lived.
Okay, so Adam and Eve, they were not giants. They were about our height, I guess.
Right.
So they somehow came to the planet way before the Nephilim did.
Yes.
Okay. And that's when, okay, then what, how many years later, thousands of years later, did the Nephilim come down here?
Could have been thousands, could have been millions. We don't really know how long Adam and Eve were on the planet. Days for the spirit Earth aren't reckoned by our days. If you'll recall, it didn't receive a sun and a moon to count up moons,
True.
You know, days until the third period of creation. So we're not sure whether it was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years or 100,000,000 years that it took for this to develop.
Now, this is also when Adam and Eve are on this planet. Is the planet still in that other section of the galaxy?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So that 7,000 years is literal, but it is on a different time scale than this one.
And that's the confusion.
Yes.
As it's
this Earth, though, with Cro-Magnon man on it, man had been put on this planet, man and woman, and they had developed, you know, for 4.5 billion years before Adam and Eve and their world got here.
Where do you think, I guess we're all genetic offsprings of Adam and Eve somehow, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And we're descendants of that. We, modern man, we're sort of a blend of the DNA that came with Noah's ancestors and the DNA that was already here.
Noah, however, coming way after Adam and Eve.
Yes. Okay. Noah was the last generation of those people on that planet coming here. So they brought everything with them that they had to this planet. And so their DNA seeded this world and genetically altered it.
Now, when you say their planet, I thought we're talking about the one planet.
We have two planets. We have a spirit planet Earth, and we have a temporal planet Earth.
Temporal,
and there are races on both of them.
Temporal being physical?
Yes.
Spirit being dimensional?
Dimensional. A different phase, a different frequency, a different universe, a different consistency than this universe.
But solid?
Yes.
I see. Okay, that's where I was confused. Two separate planets, both similar, but in really...
In different phases.
Different phases, okay.
Yeah, see, humans have a hard time thinking in three dimensions, let alone 26 dimensions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm